This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Bill Caskey and Brian Neal. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Bill. We're in a hurry today. You sound like
me. We've got a lot to get to.
Sorry. We do, don't we?
So we've got a great podcast here. We'll let you be the total judge of that. But last week we talked a little bit about skills assessment.
What about the new listeners that don't know who the hell we are?
They're going to have to figure that out on their own. Let me finish, and then you can go back and do your formal orientation program, your onboarding program. Today we're going to do inner game. We feel like a lot of your success is wrapped up in how you think about yourself and your market and your products and all sorts of things. So we're going to give you a 12-point. We're going to go off the menu a little bit. Instead of a 10-point assessment, we're going with a 12-point assessment on the inner game to make sure that your wiring is proper. Then next time, we'll talk a little bit about what should your activities be and the activity assessment that goes along with that. So now you do the onboarding.
This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. Hello. Heard a DJ this morning say that he worked at a station that played the 70s, and they said, oh, what did he say? I can't remember now. Anyways, the tagline was, the 70s were fabulous.
Fabulous. Okay, here's a question before we get started. I got a call from a client today, and he said, how do I start a letter that I want to write to a customer / prospect? They're buying a little bit from my client, but not nearly as much as they could. Mm-hmm. And my client knows that they are paying way more than what my client could sell it to them for, and they're paying freight, which my client doesn't charge freight. He says over the course of the year, it could be tens of thousands of dollars difference. Now, my client's not a price seller. He's a value seller, but he's trying to figure out a way to get this guy to realize. Now, he knows this, but he doesn't want to let his customer know that he knows what they're paying
for his product. I see.
He's tried several different things, and everything sort of falls on flat. Mm-hmm. Falls flat. So what would you tell him to do? What would the letter sound like?
Well,
you wouldn't suggest he write a letter, probably.
The first thing I'm going to say is, why doesn't he send him a telegraph instead of a letter? Dear Bill, stop.
He, for some reason, he wants to write a letter.
Why? I'm not a big fan of letters. Is he a listener?
He is a listener.
I'm going to make him mad.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It probably will.
Will it?
I don't know. Probably not.
I'm not a big fan of letters. Is he going to handwrite it?
If you can give him the words. Yeah, the reason not to, or a technique not to.
Will the guy answer the phone or talk to him?
He doesn't have a phone. I don't know. Let's say he has
Tell him to send some smoke signals.
Let's say brush fire. Start a brush fire. Get an old blanket.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm not a fan of the snail mail letter. But if he feels compelled to do that, how would I start this? My first inclination is just to say exactly what's going on here, which is all the things you just told me. Let him say that to his prospect, to say, I'm stuck here, and forgive me because I just feel compelled to, or I feel might feel attached, or I don't know how you say that. I feel like I want to share with you.
He doesn't want to throw somebody else
throw
under
it
the bus,
out, right? Because he knows someone.
Yeah.
You
could use the "How do I tell you you're paying too much without me upsetting you?" line.
How does he know?
Somebody else in the organization has told him,
and he doesn't want to get that person.
He doesn't want to get that person in trouble.
Why doesn't he just send over his price list? Say if these. I'm not sure how these
good
compare
question.
With your
yeah,
current.
Good question. I could go with it.
If it's just a price deal, because it's kind of what it's turning into, and he's kind of taking it that way, then I would just say, look, here's a deal I got for you. If you take a look at the prices that you're paying now, and if this intrigues you, give me a call. We can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one approach.
Good.
If that's what it is.
Yeah.
He doesn't even do a letter. He just needs to do an Excel spreadsheet.
Email it over.
It might be a good listener question.
It might be.
How would our listeners handle that?
Because the question is, what if you know something that your client doesn't know you know?
That happens a lot.
How do you bring it up? It does happen a lot, especially if you're wired into the organization like we think you should be. You're going to hear things and learn things that you go back to your main contact and they may not know it. And people confide in us because in our listeners because you know how to get people to confide in you.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
So then what?
Let's hear from our listeners.
Yeah.
Listener at advancedsellingpodcast.com.
Yeah, let's send them to Ask Bill and Brian, though.
Oh, okay.
Ask Bill and Brian, and so this is really Tell Bill and Brian, not Ask Bill and Brian. But go to askbillandbrian.com, Brian with a Y, and that'll allow you to fill out what you think we should give this client, what in terms of
So how do you handle it when you've got inside information from someone in the organization that you don't want to throw under the bus or let the core prospect or core decision maker know that you know,
right?
How do you handle that
situation? I think it happens a lot.
It happens a ton. I get asked that question all the time, and I always get stuck. That's why I can't answer this one. I don't know what to do.
No, that's good. Okay, I'll save for what I gave him some advice, but I'll save it for next time.
Good enough.
Okay, you want to tee up the
assessment? We're doing we're in part two, part deux. If you're a Leslie Nielsen fan, Naked Gun part deux, and we're doing assessments here. And we did a skills assessment last time. We hope you took a chance to email us and ask us at listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com to send you that assessment for you or your sales team. Today we're doing an inner game assessment, so we're going to go through three or four of these, and then if you want the inner game assessment, you email us at listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com, and we will email you the inner game version.
Yeah.
Just put inner game assessment in the subject line. We'll send that right to you.
Good. So you want to take the first
I'll go first. Yeah.
So we've got 12 here, and we're just going to do four.
Yeah, 12 topics. We're going to do four, and these are you're assessing yourself on these core principles. And one most of our normal listeners know, our clients know this, we're going to start with the word intent. So you're going to assess yourself on intent. Now, for us, a 10, so I could teach class on this, the best part of intent is that my intent has absolutely nothing to do with getting a deal or making a sale. If there's any part of you when you show up at a prospect's office in a prospect meeting is there to get or close anything, then you're less than 10. All right? If you're pure about listening, meeting them where they're at, staying in the moment, and solving their pain or problem, or moving aside or realizing then that's where you should be. But if you're there to get anything, if you're dying and desperate for a deal, then you're a zero. If your only reason to be there is to slap close a deal and be done, then you're a zero. You know the slap close?
I know the slap chop.
Yeah, the slap close.
Come on,
Bill. Are we going to do this or are we done? That's the slap close. Sorry.
Before you rate yourself an 8, 9, or 10, be very careful that your intent – just be honest with yourself before you rate yourself. That's all you can be on all these. But
yeah, that's a very good point, because I'll tell you, this is probably the most misdiagnosed, if you will, of my clients.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, yeah, my intent's really to help them. Then I listen to their phone calls, and I'm like, Bill, you know what?
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're not.
Okay, so number one is intent. Yeah. I'm going to take one here that's a little bit different, and that is it's the belief – sort of your belief scale in your business plan, in your personal business plan. If you wrote one, which I hope you did for this year, and you have it, and it's a working document, do you believe in it? And here's why that matters, is because if you don't believe in the path that you've set out to grow your business, you're always at every turn going to be wondering, am I really on the right path? And
that's
when you're in front of a prospect, then you're not going to be focused present moment totally on them. You're going to be thinking, geez, I'm way behind. I got to change it. I got to do something different. I got to change my grip. That's an old golf term. You know, when your game goes to hell, you change your grip. Yeah, I am. So the point there is that do you believe in your business plan? If you're a 10, you know that if you're in front of a prospect and they say no or you say no to them, no worries, man, because the business plan is the right plan.
That's good.
And if you're a zero, that means you got to go back to the well and do it again.
Faith in the plan.
Yeah.
We run the ball. Faith in the plan. Very good. Okay, next for me.
Yours. Yep.
Number two. I'm going to talk a little bit about ego management. Now, ego, we find, shows itself in a couple of different ways in the sales process. One way is what we would call the need to be right all the time. There are a lot of salespeople that have an innate need to be right. And the second way the ego shows itself is in the need to be liked, or the need for other people to like us or be approved and have friends and things like that. And what we're talking about here is not where you scale out on those two things. It's more about how do you manage how you are, because either of those could help or hinder you in the sales process. So we just want to say, are you capable of managing your ego through the sales process? Had an example yesterday on a training call with a really, really, really good salesperson, professional woman out in California. And she was stuck because she's with this prospective gentleman that she calls on frequently, who absolutely adores her, loves to talk to her, very personal relationship where they talk, not really personal. He's much older. He's got grandkids and stuff. But he talks to her about his grandkids and this and his life, and he sends her jokes and everything. And guess what he never does? What does he never do? He never buys anything, you see. I mean, on rare occasions does he buy something, but boy, he will talk to her for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And her problem is, I don't want to hurt this guy's feelings.
Right.
He really likes me. I thought that would be good going in. She said that turned out to be the bad strategy. I really give her a lot of credit because she said that. She goes, I really thought if I got to know this guy real personally, he'd really take care of me. And that's the strategy she took. And now she's stuck, totally stuck. because now he won't let her go anywhere else because he likes her. He wants to coddle her.
Right.
And she wants to go throughout the organization, talk to other people. He goes, no, no, let me handle that.
How things start is how things end. And if you are going in to be liked and be sociable, that's probably how the sales process will end, with you being liked and being sociable. And you might get a scrap here or there.
Yeah.
But it's hard to take it from really a desire to be liked to a desire to help someone solve a problem.
It's good. From dust to dust. It's good. How you start is how you shall remain.
Okay, what do you got there next? Was that on ego?
Yeah, that was it.
All right.
You're next.
I've got one here, which is belief in the value of your product or service, belief in value. And this is hard because you are not a buyer of your product. You are a seller of your product. So the question I would have here to rate yourself a 10 is, not only do I believe in what we do and I believe in the value, but if I were a buyer, I'd buy it. I'd pay a premium for it. I'd go out of my way to configure things so that I could buy this product.
Yep.
And I find a lot of times that we believe in our product at a surface level, but we really don't believe wholeheartedly in the value statement, the value equation. And I think if you're out there pitching value and talking about it, would you even buy your product?
Yeah, that's very good. I like to think of, I phrase this sometimes in class where I'll say to somebody, if you're presenting whatever it is that you do in solution terms and you start to talk about the money aspect, the economics of it, that you need to feel it's an absolute bargain. The ideal place for you to be is, you know, when they say how much it is, you say it's $1,500, but if my boss would let me, I'd charge you $3,000 because that's what it's worth. Mm-hmm. That's what I'd pay for it. And mean it. That sounds sticky.
Not a sales move.
Yeah. You got to mean that and believe it in your heart of hearts that we're really, really giving people a hell of a deal here.
Yeah.
With whatever it is that we do.
So those are four. We've got eight more, and all you have to do is list. All you have to do is send us an email to listener at Advanced Selling Podcast, subject line, inner game assessment or inner assessment. We'll make sure we get this copy to you. And then next week we'll be talking about behavior. Are you doing the right behavior? We'll allow you to assess your activity level. And I've got one. You got something?
I just have I got an email today from a gentleman named Justin.
Okay.
Who is up in Wisconsin.
Sure he is.
Waukesha, Wisconsin. Brett Favre. Whoops. And he just joined us, said, I recently discovered your podcast on iTunes and have found them extremely valuable for myself and my sales teams. I started implementing them in my weekly sales trainings, and they're making a significant impact, not only from an educational standpoint, but also motivational. He asked for a little thing that we promised him, which we'll get to him, and it says, thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge.
Good.
Isn't that nice?
We've got a lot of nice comments like that.
Thanks, Justin.
I ran into a guy yesterday at the fitness facility that I belong to, and his name was Brett. I won't say his last name. But anyway, Brett was a client of ours, and he left the telephony networking business and started a record label.
You're kidding me.
Well, he has a record label now, and he said, I was in pitching one of the VPs at Universal to get some distribution for his label, because they're a distribution company. And he said, I used all of the things that I've learned from the training over the years, asking the right questions, preempting the problems, telling the VP of Universal, look, we may not be the right fit for you, and he got a deal.
No
kidding. And he's
kidding.
Living in L.A. now. He was just back visiting Indianapolis, and he came up, and he was just pumped. It just happened a couple of weeks ago. So he's a podcast listener client, too. So.
How cool is that? Would he record us and could he get us distribution at Warner Brothers? We did a sales album.
Oh, yeah.
The Advanced Selling Podcast Jam, live.
Night Breeze and
Kiss My Asp. Advanced Selling Podcast. You get that? You like that, huh?
Make sure you heard that.
There
Kathy,
you go.
Do not edit that out.
Sorry.
Okay, next time we'll do more skills assessments or more assessments, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to BillCaskey.com or to iTunes.